The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We're live at the Phoenician. Brad Sesmatt, Sports 360 AZ, on the road at the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon, the PGA Tour. Phil Mickelson will be here this morning at the Phoenician. We count down towards the Waste Management Open 2014. Phil Mickelson here today. On the show as well, Tom King, Tournament Chairman, Waste Management Open, will join us here in a few minutes, just on the increased security, the field. There's some big names that have committed, along with Phil being in. So we'll talk about the Waste Management Phoenix Open coming up next month. At about 15 minutes from now, Clark Judge, all things NFL. John Madden really, really causing a stir with his comments about the Washington Redskins. And also, the officiating getting worse and worse in the NFL. It's now to a point where you know that there's some big change that's going to come in this offseason. I think Clark's ready to drop the bomb on the NFL in that regard. Clark Judge, all things NFL. Bottom of the hour, Steve Sands, NBC Sports and Golf Channel. He is the MC here today. He's also going to Sochi in the Olympics. Jared Cohen's out here today covering this event, too, and he told we're hearing that Steve Sands is going to be doing curling in February for the Olympics, and Jared had his take on how people get really into curling, which is kind of cool. Jerry Colangelo comes by in about 45 minutes. A Thunderbird, USA Basketball. When did he meet Phil Mickelson? And the connection between Jerry, Phil, and his wife, Amy, and I think the state of Arizona. So Jerry Colangelo will talk some basketball with Jerry, too, the Olympics and the Hoopall Classic, which is going to be in Phoenix. That's coming up, too, with this weekend. We'll talk with Jerry. Here at the Phoenician, back in our studios in Uptown Scottsdale, is Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, with our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
Hi, Brad. Well, as you well know, we have a number one ranked team here in Arizona. The Arizona Wildcats improved to 10-0 last night, taking care of New Mexico State 74-48 in Tucson. So we're going to ask you, will the Cats be perfect by the time they host ASU in about a month, January 16th? They've got some tricky road games starting this Saturday in Ann Arbor against Michigan. They also have the Southern California trip to UCLA and USC. So head over to facebook.com/sports360AZ. True or false, the Cats will remain undefeated and number one when they host ASU at McHale Center on January 16th.
No, they're going to lose somewhere. I think they end up falling at UCLA. Have you seen UCLA yet?
I have not. I don't have Pac-12 Network, so I don't get to see a lot of the college basketball games this time of year.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm watching U of A last night. I'll get more to them in a minute when we do what's going on in sports. But they're really good. Man, they're good. And they've got a terrific point guard. And I think you and I would both agree that you can have long-term success in March Madness with the play of your backcourt. The unforeseen is roll of an ankle. I do think that there's a bit of a drop-off when T.J. McConnell's not on the floor, which is only to be expected. And anybody who says, oh, no, they're the same team, I think is just looking at it with red, white, and blue glasses, which I get that. That's part of fandom. No, I like that question. Top-ranked Wildcats, 10-0 last night. Head over to facebook.com/sports360AZ. Will they still be undefeated when they host ASU on January 16th? McConnell against Jahi Carson. Really looking forward to that. But you know what U of A is going to do. They're going to throw Nick Johnson over on him. They're going to throw a whole bunch of guys and just try and wear him out and get him in foul trouble. That's the simple way to coach that. All right, let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. And it is brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. We head on up there for New Year's. You can go skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort. They say, Sesmatt, we want to be a part of what you're doing here at Sports 360 AZ. I said, well, that's fine, from day number one. And happy birthday to Ann Grubner at the Honda Resort and Casino. Way to go, Ann. Happy birthday today. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They had their New Year's Eve bash. Great food, great fun. Stay there at the Honda Resort and Casino. Big winnings, and then go to the Sunrise Ski Resort to start out the New Year's with snowboarding and sledding and skiing and all that. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. So let's start here with, I think the Madden story is really interesting to me, and we'll talk more about it with Clark Judge in a couple of minutes. But that's really on my mind. Locally, so last night, I did watch, as Eric said, I am one of the five with a Pac-12 network in this state. And I am fascinated by the number one team in the nation being here. It's been 10 years since the U of A was top-ranked overall. They blow away New Mexico State, which they should have done. I don't know if any of you saw the game. I know you didn't. Jared, you saw it. Put on your headset there for a second. Jared saw the game. So New Mexico State has this guy, Ballard, from India, who I'm 6'8", right? And he's 7'5". I'm not joking. And he's 360 pounds minus a donut. That dude was, and he couldn't move.
He made Caleb Tarzewski look like a point guard with how fast he was compared to him.
But
it was great.
Here's the thing about him, though. So anytime that there's someone that big, I'm trying to translate, does he go to the NBA? Can he go to the NBA? No, he's going to go to India. He's going to go back to India because he's 7'5 and 360. But he could pass the ball. He wasn't that bad.
He was pretty skilled for a guy
that
big.
Though. Oh, my gosh, he couldn't move. So you're a U of A guy. I mean, that's where you went to college. Do you think that they're going to be, I'll throw the Facebook question, do you think they're going to be undefeated in the middle of January when they play ASU?
You know, probably not. I see no matter what, there's going to be a game ending with fans rushing the floor in a Pac-12 conference game, and that's normally the way it goes.
Yep.
This team, ever since that Duke game, hasn't really put together a full basketball game yet.
Yep.
Last night they kind of struggled, and so I see them falling because they're not able to put a full one together, especially on the road.
All right. And you're a big golf guy.
Yes, sir.
So today you're going after Phil?
Talking to Phil today.
I like that. All right, that's Jared Cohen. He's out here, Sports 360 AZ, getting it done. I see some of the Thunderbirds that are rolling on in here in a minute. Tom King, the tournament chairman, will join us here shortly. Last night, there was a play in the game, Brian Jeffries gets excited occasionally, but I mean, Brian Jeffries really came out of his shoes last night on this play, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. This was the capper of the night.
Jefferson on the right wing, crossover, drives inside, and jams it home with the left hand. He's fouled, and will go to the line.
Not to be denied, Hollis-Jefferson. He took the whole team off the dribble and threw them all.
Yeah, and so they go on to the victory, and here's T.J. McConnell, point guard for the Cats. Very effective offense, starting with good defense. I think this kid is the real deal.
You know, Coach Miller just preaches defense day in and day out, and, you know, we really buy into it on defense, you know, with the principles and, you know, how hard we have to play, and I think everyone as a whole played well on defense tonight, and that was the difference in the game.
Terrific win for the U of A, number one in the nation. I think it's a good story for Arizona. Even if you're ASU people, you get all wound up about anything Tucson related, okay? Look, when ASU kicked your teeth in football, right? You got your teeth kicked in. Your basketball team's number one in the nation. There's a lot of you around the state listening. They're like, come on, Brad, are you really going to give U of A? Yeah, I didn't go to ASU. I didn't go to U of A. I don't care. Just give me a good story, crying out loud. So U of A is number one. I hope they're still number one when they play ASU. And I think it would be a terrific story if ASU beat them in Tucson to get rid of their number one ranking. Who wouldn't want that? That's great drama. All right? Brandon Ashley, 15. Caleb Tarzewski, 14. U of A, number one. I'll get over to the John Madden story in a minute. Kurt Warner had some comments to me yesterday on the show that I thought were interesting. Mac Brown. But the big story, this is why we're out here. This is our third year of being out here at the Waste Management Open Tee-Off Luncheon. And the tournament chairman is Tom King, who just walked on out of a meeting looking nattily attired, involved with a bunch of misfits over there at the the Thunderbirds are all good people. I say misfits lovingly, Jeff Lau and Tom Altieri and all these just guys are nightmares. Hi, Tom.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. So you've got Phil here, so you haven't sold any tickets.
No. Nope,
plenty of room.
Plenty of room in there. I don't know how they're going to get any more tables in that room as I just peek my head in there, but we're super excited today to have Phil.
Okay, so you get to be the tournament chairman on the year that Phil Mickelson is the defending champion. You just kind of walked into the dream.
Right. Yep. There's having Phil here, this is third time as champion. So, yeah, there are people come calling all day today, how can I get a seat? How can I get in there to see what's going on? And we have Steve Sands as our MC from the Golf Channel. So should be a good show.
Security is going to be an issue this year. And I mean that in a way of people need to be aware that coming to this year's tournament is not going to be just walking on through the gates. It's not going to be obtrusive, I don't believe. I see it work at Cardinal games and other sporting events. But with what's happened in sports, with what's happened at the Boston Marathon, you guys have had to step forward. The PGA Tour has stepped forward and said, okay, we have increased security to get in. Why don't you get people aware of that? Let's get the 800-pound gorilla out of the room.
Yep, and you know what? We have to thank. You mentioned Cardinals. Thank Mike Bidwell, who sat us down and taught us the right way to do security while also maintaining the fan experience. So, as we mentioned, we are going to want everybody that comes through the gates.
Every last person.
Yep, vendors, sponsors, players. It's going to be metal detector. No backpacks, exactly like the Cardinal games or any NFL game for that matter. But, you know, safety is a top priority. Now, Saturday, if 185,000 people show up.
Which they will.
Which, yep, we had 179 last year. We have a plan, and we're putting the plan in place, and we're working with Homeland Security, wow, Scottsdale PD, and Pro-Am. So wish us the best of luck, but really it's all about education the next 6 weeks to the fans to let them know before they show up so there are no surprises.
Tom King's the tournament chairman, Waste Management Open, which takes place next month and into February. He joins me here, Brad Sussmat, at the Waste Management Open tee-off lunch, and Phil Mickelson will be here with us later today. Clark Judge in about 10 minutes, all things NFL, including the John Madden story. What does it mean financially to have Phil Mickelson as your defending champion in terms of sponsors, interest, all of that? Can you even quantify it?
Yeah, we can. I mean, our sales are an all-time record high right now across all venues. There are wait lists on all of our skyboxes, you know, and we're on the heels of Super Bowl. So you had Phil as the defending champion, wire to wire, two great years of beautiful weather, 72 and sunny. You had all that together. So we're really focusing on our theme today, and you'll hear it up on the podium, is how do we increase or improve the fan experience to make it as safe and as great as it ever has been.
And your field, you could just roll Phil out there and have nobody else, and you'd probably get a big number. Of course you would. But Lee Westwood's jumped in, I've heard.
Yep.
And that's a big name that's coming to Phoenix.
Huge name. We're very excited about Lee. Bubba has committed. Ricky Fowler has committed. Padraig Harrington is working on final detail to come back. He had so much fun last year. So the field should shape up nicely, better than it has in a couple years.
And you're trying to make 17 the new 16. Tell me about, I mean, how can you, I know you've added 20 more skyboxes to 16.
Yeah.
Are you going to put a dome over it eventually?
Yeah, there's 192 skyboxes total. It's gone to the point of now we have to shut down that lake on 15 in order to expand even more, because now we've got to almost make it a baseball stadium if you go any higher, due to security and making sure we can anchor it correctly. So we're pushing people to 17. It's a great par 4. It's got great views of 18 fairway if we can build it the right way. Or maybe we'll just go higher and dome that whole thing up on 16. But we've got to do in conjunction with City of Scottsdale and all that. But that's one thing we've talked about. Why can't we make a permanent structure like they do with Field of Dreams and things like that, baseball stadiums around. So that's on the plate for the next few years.
Anything else you want to add about this year's tournament that maybe, like, Brad, here's something else that's going on that's pretty cool, or someone else who's coming? Or I'm hitting all my marks. You guys serving chicken in there today?
Tom Higginbotham was describing how great the salad was that he put together, so I can't wait to see what that is. But the big news is our Coors Light Bird's Nest. We're bringing country back, and we've landed Jake Owen, who two nights ago won Entertainer of the Year, I believe, on the AMAs. So we're kind of getting him at a rising level, and we're bringing Weezer, who's an alternative band, on Friday night. And then OAR is coming back Wednesday, so we feel that lineup is as big or strong as it's ever been. So that party should be rocking.
Of course it will be.
Of course. Yeah, I know. You'll be there.
What else? Listen, there's Brad over in the corner there with the lampshade on, right? Tom, appreciate you coming by as always and for having us out here. And, you know, with anything coming up, just let us know.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good
appreciate
seeing you. Tom King there with us for a couple of minutes. On the other side, these guys, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun, but trust me on this, it's a lot of work for these guys. It's a lot of work, but what a year. Phil Mickelson rolling through. He'll be here later today. And much more. Steve Sands, Tom mentioned, he's going to come by in about 20 minutes and join me on the show. Next, 30 years covering the NFL, Clark Judge, all things NFL, weekly visit, John Madden just going after the Redskins. And some other things as well on my mind. What are the Bears going to do at quarterback with McCown and Cutler? And we'll just see you bops on by here. Jerry Colangelo in about a half hour. I'm Brad Sussmat. Back here live at the Phoenician, Brad Sussmat with you in the lobby just outside. Phil Mickelson shortly will be meeting with the media here. The defending champion, Waste Management Open, the big story in the Valley today and across the state is right here. Jerry Colangelo in about 15 minutes, Steve Sands as well from the Golf Channel. Clark Judge is going to join us momentarily. I want to talk to Clark. Here is yesterday. This story has just gone crazy. Mike Shanahan, the head coach of the Redskins, on why RG3 is done for the year, even though he's not hurt.
I don't want him to go in his third year on IR. I think it would devastate him, not having the ability to practice every day throwing the ball with his teammates. And then it's good for Kirk. He gets some playing time. He is practicing and playing, and I believe he'll play at a high level. That's good for the organization.
Okay, so that's Mike Shanahan. He's talking about Kirk Cousins there. John Madden weighed in yesterday on a SiriusXM NFL show, quote, "I mean, you know it's baloney. I like Mike Shanahan, and I'm not talking behind his back, but when you say something like that, you know that's not right. You're not going to sacrifice regular season games. There's only 16 of them a year. You're not going to sacrifice games for an off-season program." So is Mike Shanahan trying to get himself fired? Madden went on to talk about it impacts the integrity of the game. The Redskins are 3-10 heading nowhere, so do you take Kirk Cousins and you give him a chance? Is Shanahan trying to get himself fired? Here is Clark Judge, all things NFL, 30 years covering the National Football League. What do you make out of this mess in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I'm closer to Madden than I am in Shanahan on this one, Brad. I know both very well, and I've got respect for Mike as well. But, boy, the story sure sounds fishy because here's a guy that the owner covets, a guy who he gave star treatment to. And we know that because, honestly, in the past, coaches have told me Daniel Snyder's given star treatment to other players as well. So I don't suspect that RG3 is any different. That said, why would you shut him down now when you didn't shut him down at the start of the year? I mean, he's coming back from a knee injury, and suddenly now you're concerned about the welfare of this guy. And it seems to me that it just looks like he's doing it to spite the owner. Now, Shanahan said he talked to the owner and he talked to the GM, Bruce Allen, and they both said, yeah, we're in agreement on this. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we had a conflict of stories last year when RG3 got hurt, and then the physician said, well, he wasn't clear, and Mike said he was clear. So we've had this before here, but it sure sounds as if Mike's on a fast track to try to get himself fired. That's the way it looks to me, because where did the story come from to begin with? Sure sounds like it came from Shanahan's camp. It looked as if this thing emanated there, and that last week we had the story about him possibly cleaning out his desk last year, cleaning out his office, and threatening to resign. That had to come from Shanahan's camp. And for the life of me, I'm not sure why, unless he's miserable there and wants to be portrayed in a positive light because he wants to get out of there. But I don't know if it's the integrity of the game. He can bench whoever he wants, but you can bench him because he's not playing well. Bench him because of the off-season program? That doesn't sound right.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, on this, Clark. They are 3-10, and when they're talking about the integrity of the game, two of their three remaining games are against teams that are not going to the playoffs, but one of them is against the Dallas Cowboys. Right. And I think if you want to find out an answer about Kirk Cousins, I can actually buy into that argument of finding out about whether he can play or not. I really can. Because if he can play, you could shop him in the offseason and bring back some things. That's an organization that has been void of cap space, that has had not had draft picks. Okay, so there is that argument. But the integrity of the game argument, do you buy into that?
No, I really don't. I mean, here's the deal. As I said, if Mike had said, listen, RG3 is struggling, we need to sit him down and let him sort of gather himself, I need to take a look at Kirk Cousins. We need to find what we have behind us because right now we might have somebody better. That's fine. I mean, honestly, what you said there, I buy completely. I would have played Kirk Cousins at the start of the year, Brad, because he demonstrated last year you can win with him. But to play him now, sure. But to say, no, we're sitting down RG3 because we want him to be ready for the offseason program, well, something sounds a little bit backwards there. Don't you do the offseason program to get ready for the season? So it just doesn't sound right there. But in the integrity of the game, no, because what happens – or what has happened in the past when teams are coasting, they sit down their players, and people talk about the integrity of the game. No, it isn't. That's your right. You won that many games. You have the right to do that. No one says you have to play these guys, yes. And you have that prerogative if you win that many games. And if you don't like it, then win that many games.
Clark Judge, all things NFL. What do you do? You and I, neither one of us are in Chicago, But what do you do if you are the Bears? To me, you stick with Josh McCown. You don't bring Jay Cutler back. That's the biggest quarterback debate going on in the league right now. What do you do if you're the Bears?
Very simple. You play McCown. McCown isn't as talented as Cutler, but I do believe he's the better quarterback in that system. Why? He doesn't turn the ball over. He can make plays inside and outside the pocket. Josh McCown's been a career journeyman, really. But you look at him, you say, could this be, I mean, could it be Rich Gannon all over again? It might, maybe. I mean, there's a new coach there, a new offensive coordinator. He seems to really mesh with this team pretty well. And better, I think, than Cutler. Cutler was struggling in there. Now, Cutler's bought into the system, but Cutler also doesn't have a contract for next year. Now, they can franchise him, but that's right. The question. Do you bring him back to get a look at him? I think they're better off with McCown. If they want to win that division, I stick with McCown.
Kurt Warner told me yesterday on the show that he thinks Carson Palmer has another 2 or 3 years left in him at the production that he's shown here in the last month or so. My question is whether the Cardinals need to draft a quarterback. From your view from back there, as you've seen Carson Palmer this year, it can end in a hurry, Clark. You and I have both seen guys that look really good. But do you think Carson Palmer has 3 years left in him?
I think he's got 2 or 3 years. Yeah, 3 years I could see, because he looks so much better now than he did a year ago or the second half of the year before.
Really?
Yeah, 2011. Yeah, I like what he's doing, especially these last 5 or 6 games. I mean, he's been 5-1. He's been pretty good. I mean, he's not the Carson Palmer with the Bengals early in his career, but he's better than most of the quarterbacks out there. Would I draft a quarterback? Yeah, darn right I'd draft a quarterback. But have him sit like Carson Palmer did behind John Kitna and learn, because you're learning from one of the best in Carson Palmer. But do I think he has 2 or 3 years? Yeah, I think you could get 2, maybe 3, but I'd say 2.
And lastly, so we've talked about officiating, it seems like, endlessly this whole season. It's not been a good year for the NFL. We talk about that, it feels like, every week. Now it's come out that they are thinking of centralizing the replays. But are the officials getting to a point where they're backlashing towards the NFL, saying, you guys are hanging us out there to dry, and you're not taking good care of us? Are you seeing some of that resentment from officials to the league?
No, I'm not. But what I am seeing, Brad, is a dramatic and consistent inconsistency among the calls. Honestly, I don't know what represents or constitutes a pass interference call anymore. And I don't know what constitutes holding anymore. And I don't think these guys do either. I mean, I look at it, and like that call last week in the Cleveland-New England game. I mean, how is that pass interference? And yet you'll see some holding and roughhousing. The Gronkowski penalty or ledge penalty, for example, is a good example. And that's not called. So how is that not called? And the one last week against Cleveland is called. So I think the league is saying, we understand the uncomfortable feeling that people have around the country, the people that think that the officials are sort of taking over this game, and we want to do something about it. They're looking into it. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, but the fact that they're looking into it means they're frazzled as well, and they should be, because honestly, I don't think they know what constitutes a penalty anymore. If it's going to be like the NHL, where it goes to Toronto and they make the decision, I guess that's okay, except time is a factor here. I want to see something adjudicated quickly, and I want to see it done consistently. And I think they want consistency, too. That's something they don't have right now among their officials.
Let's go off that. Talk next week. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, all things NFL. Jerry Colangelo is going to join us in about 15 minutes. I think Steve Sands is swinging by here. I know he's swinging by here before we wrap things up with the Golf Channel. We continue on from the Phoenician, where it is the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon with Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson, the defending champ, they're telling me they already have 500,000 tickets. I mean, people are going to roll through to watch this in the biggest way. As we continue on, Brad Sussmat with you. You can check out our website, sports360az.com, on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Back here at the Phoenician, Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ. On the road today at the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon. Phil Mickelson here in a few minutes. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel just came by. He'll join us shortly as well. He's going to Sochi to do curling, but he also does a great job at the Golf Channel and with NBC Sports. Jerry Colangelo joins us now for a couple of minutes. USA Basketball, and of course, all things around the Valley and around the state. He is a Thunderbird as well. Jerry Colangelo joins us. You're coming here today to the Phoenician to be involved in this. When did you first meet Phil Mickelson, Jerry?
Geez, he was still in college, and we played in the Pro-Am together, and it didn't take long for me to recognize what an exceptional young man he was outside of a outstanding young golfer. So it's been a pleasure getting to know him and watch his career. It's been extraordinary.
He's one of those guys that you also know or knew Amy very well because she was the Suns cheerleader. So, I mean, you actually can go way back with these two. This is not just an athlete that you know. This is a family that you know.
It is. It really is. And Phil was a big basketball fan, and he requested good seats, and I was able to accommodate him. And, of course, he had a bird's-eye view of our dancers, and Amy was one of them. And, of course, we know the rest of that story because they became an item and a marriage, and it's been interesting. I do have a funny story about him jumping off the trampoline one time when he was a young golfer, and my heart just about dropped as I thought about, you know, him injuring himself and not being able to play golf because he jumped off the trampoline and broke his arm or something, but we got through that.
Yeah, Steve Loy would not have forgiven you on that one, I'm sure. So, Jerry, I'm. Have you ever played golf with Phil? Have you ever been out on the course with Phil for a round?
I did. We played in a pro-am once together, and again, he was just going pro, and about a week later, first of all, he was such a gentleman. It was Mr. Colangelo this, Mr. Colangelo that, and it was a great time. About a week later, I get a set of clubs with a personal note from Phil Mickelson saying how much he appreciated time with me and the beginning of a relationship and to accept the clubs as a token of appreciation, signed Phil. I mean, that said an awful lot for a young man, 21 years old.
Oh, no question about it. As you see this open, you know, I was at Phoenix Country Club day before yesterday. I was asked to go play out there, and I think I hit your house over on the first tee box. I think I did. They said, we think you just hit Jerry's house. But the open used to be at the country club. Could you have envisioned it becoming as big as it is now?
No, I don't think anyone did. And, you know, my time as an active Thunderbird was many years ago, and at that time, as you pointed out, the Phoenix Open was held at the Arizona Country Club and Phoenix Country Club in alternating years, and it was it just wasn't big enough when you think about it, you know, in terms of handling the crowds, and so it's evolved into what it is, and it's an enormous event here in Phoenix, and there's quite a history on the Phoenix Open.
Jerry Colangelo with us. Before I let you go, and you're here later today, it's my understanding, but there's another event in the Valley this week that, for a basketball fan, and I'm one of those guys, as you know, that does the high school, that does the college, that does the pro stuff, the Hoop Hall Classic that you're starting this week has enough teams that are going to be nationally rated, ranked. Tell me about this event at Grand Canyon and what you're trying to do with USA Basketball, bringing the top teams in the nation here to Arizona this week.
All right, I'm going to do this quickly because I have to get inside and make a presentation to Phil Mickelson in just a few moments. But the tournament's going to be held at Grand Canyon University on Friday and Saturday of this weekend. It's called the Hoop Hall West. It's the West Coast version of the Springfield-based Hoop Hall Classic, which features the top teams in the country, and it's a tournament that's been going on for 12 years. The Hoop Hall West, this is our first year. We'll have five major high school programs at a national showcase, eight high schools from Arizona. There's eight games, four on Friday, four on Saturday. Friday's games are at 4, 5:30, 7, and 8:30. Saturday at 2, 4, 6, and 8. There's some outstanding individual players like, for example, Stanley Johnson of Mater D of California, ranked 9 on the ESPN Top 100. There's a player ranked 59th, Khalib Martin of Oak Hill, going to North Carolina State. By the way, Stanley Johnson is committed to U of A. He's number 9 on the entire list. Steve Zimmerman, Bishop Gorman, he's ranked number 2. In the class of 215, and undeclared. And another one from Bishop Gorman, Chase Jeter, 37th in the class of 215. There's some outstanding players, prospects, and we would hope that this becomes an annual event in Arizona. We know it's going to be here for 2 or 3 years for certain, and it's important to make it successful.
I'll let you go off that. I'll see you inside. Jerry, thanks.
Thank you.
Jerry Colangelo with us for a couple of minutes here at the Phoenician. Phil Mickelson getting ready for his presentation, and we'll hear from him later on in the day. As we roll on doing the show today here at the Phoenician, the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon, the defending champion Phil Mickelson. We'll try to get him over here as well before things get wrapped up on our end. We continue on. I do believe Steve Sands from the Golf Channel around the corner. If not, there's some other things on my mind that I want to get to as well. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We're always on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, and White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio, the good people of White Mountain Radio. Back here at the Phoenician, Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. Good to be on sports360az.com Monday through Friday, and of course the website, White Mountain Radio. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick is a big sports fan. Good people at Santan Ford. They are a part of what we do, a huge part of what we do. We appreciate their support. It's the end of the year. You need that car. You need that truck. Santan Ford. Go to SantanFord.com. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Jared is in with a press conference right now with Phil Mickelson, so I'm flying solo. But Steve Sands from the Golf Channel, who's going to go to Sochi. He's going to be doing curling, from my understanding, which is very cool. Steve Sands with NBC Sports and the Golf Channel sits down for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat here at the Waste Management Open tee-off lunch and Phil Mickelson, the defending champ. Appreciate you coming by.
Anytime, Brad. Thanks for having us, bud.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great because 20 years of doing stuff here in the Valley around this event, to see it grow to where I've got Tom King telling me that we have, Brad, 500,000 tickets probably already committed.
Yeah.
And we have 3 deep sponsors wanting to get in because Phil Mickelson is a defending champ. You can't even quantify that.
It's the coolest event of the year. It's not even close. I go to, 28 events on the PGA Tour calendar. I think I've been to every tour event except for 2. And I'm pretty sure that this one's got the John Deere Classic and the Valero Texas Open beat. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. It's just fun, man. It's a lot of fun to be around. Not quite sure the tour could handle it every week.
Yeah.
Or the players, or the fans, or anybody else involved in the event. But it's an amazing week. I lost in all of the nonsense and the zaniness is that it's a great tournament.
Well, the charity side of it,
man.
I think that's the part. They asked me to speak, it was like 2 months ago, in front of some of their sponsors. And I said, do you guys realize the millions that are being written? And some of these, I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, Phil Mickelson's the defending champ, and Lee Westwood's going to be out, and Patrick Herring's probably going to roll on in. Tiger doesn't play here. It's a tournament that has been Tiger-proofed.
It's the only event I can think of.
Yeah.
Other than the John Deere Classic, literally. I know I keep going back to that.
Yeah.
John Deere's kind of a unique event in its own right that doesn't need Tiger and probably doesn't want Tiger. If Tiger came and played in this event, it wouldn't bring more people out. It would cause more headaches security-wise and tee times and routing and this and the other thing. I honestly think it's the only event I can think of on the PGA Tour that truly just doesn't need Tiger. It's great.
When you deal with Phil, what
says a lot about the event.
No, it does. When you deal with Phil, and so we're talking with Steve Sands, who's one of the best in the business, NBC Sports and the Golf Channel, that does what he does and bounces around from week to week. What's it like when you get him away from all of the stuff? You know what I mean?
He's never away from the stuff.
Yeah, and he is one of those guys, we've seen him here since college. But when he's away from the stuff, I've found him to be, it's very rare, but when he won the Masters and Steve Loy had him in and wore the green jacket and we were invited to a private event, I saw a really different guy than what I see during the week. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, he is he's amazingly comfortable in his own skin. I've never been around an athlete who's as big as Phil in his or her sport, who, when he or she gets away from the arena, is okay just going to dinner and hanging out. And if somebody walks by and says, hey, can I get a picture? It's not the greatest moment in the world for him because he's trying to enjoy his dinner, but he does it. an autograph, walks through the restaurant in the front door, drives himself around. It's amazing. He's a fascinating guy. Obviously, he's unbelievably talented. He's one of the top 15 players in the history of the sport. But he's a genuinely nice, generous guy. The family thing isn't fake.
Right.
None of that stuff is fake. You know, people like to pick at him, you know, for that kind of thing. But just my opinion, they're wrong.
Well, I think I've seen him change just through the whole – I used to have him on, and it would be, what are the odds this weekend? And there was that gambling side of Phil that has been taken away, and I think was actually a pretty smart move on his part. And I've told Steve Loy that. Now what we see is what he does in his personal time, I don't know, and I don't need to know. But I do know this, that he and Amy, we used to watch them at Suns games when she was a dancer and he was just a golfer and he was checking her out.
Right.
And now I see where he's just changed.
He's still just checking her out.
He's still just checking her out, and he should just check her out. But where I see him going from a golf standpoint, I don't see where the end is for him yet.
Yeah, I'm telling you, somebody was asking me last year about Phil and how long can he go. And I thought, you know, he's 43, he'll be 44 next June. You know, he's getting close to, you know, the end in comparison to where the beginning was.
Sure.
But his swing is still long and lucid. His fitness, people always say about his fitness, you know, does he look like he is in the greatest shape in the world? No.
Better than 10 years ago, though.
He is, and he's stronger, he's more flexible. He's more golf in shape than, you know, like physically just ripped, like that kind of thing. So I think he's got a lot of years left. I really do. That swing is still long. He still flies the ball a long way. I don't see any reason why he doesn't compete, you know, 6-8 more years, you know, at the highest level.
Right.
And then, you know, kind of trickles in a few events here and there if his health stays, remains. I think he's going to be around for a long time. It's great.
Who do you like to watch that you'll walk 18 holes with that you feel like does not get enough attention?
That doesn't get enough attention?
On the tour. Do you look at it and you say, you know what, I don't get it. I don't see why people are not latching on to this or one or two guys.
Well, I'll give you one name in particular, and he happened to just win the FedEx Cup. Henrik Stenson is so good. He hits the ball so straight. If you're a golfer and you go out to a golf tournament, and I realize at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, a lot of people aren't golf people. They just go out there for the people watching the fun. But if you're a golf guy or a golf girl, you watch him hit a ball, it's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
How well he hits the ball, how straight he hits the ball, how good he is, and he's also fun, smiles, laughs, jokes with the fans, has a good time. But Henrik Stenson doesn't get nearly the attention that his talent warrants.
You ever get tired talking about Tiger? When you sit down to interviews, you know it's coming.
It depends.
I get tired of asking.
It depends. I mean, I haven't had to talk about him since Sunday. So today's Thursday. We left Sherwood on Sunday after that insane finish, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I haven't had to say a word about him in 3.5 days. So go ahead, fire away.
No. And it's not even firing away.
No,
it's just
no, I don't. Listen, the guy's the best player of his era.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he was, maybe still is, on track to becoming the greatest player in the history of the sport. So how can you not talk about him? But there is never a day where someone doesn't ask me something about Tiger, on or off the air, literally.
The tour itself, what concerns you? You look at the tour and you're like, you look at the tour and you're just like, boy, I hope that this issue, are there any issues on the tour? Is it about as good as it can be right now? You're out there week in and week out. You're a Golf Channel. You see the underbelly.
Yeah. I mean, the business is strong. I'm amazed in the economy since 2008 that they have a fully sponsored tour playing for gajillions of dollars. I'm really excited about the young guys. The young guys have grown up with Golf Channel every day.
Yeah.
The 24-hour news cycle, that Twitter, Facebook garbage, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And they get it, the young guys, you know, like the Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, the real young guys. There was a little bit of time there where I thought the tour had kind of lost its way with some of those kind of, you know, upper 30s guys who didn't quite give back enough to the sponsors who are controlling, you know, the way the schedule works. But the young guys are good. So what I think the game needs is someone whether it's Rory McIlroy or Ricky Fowler or Dustin Johnson or any other great young player, I think the tour needs a dominating figure. I've always thought that in sports. The NBA was more fun when Jordan and the Bulls yep. were dominant. It went away for a little bit, and then, you know, now all of a sudden the popularity is as high as it's been in the league, and, you know, everybody wants to either play the Heat or watch the Heat. And you could say that about the Patriots or the Broncos this year or whatever it is. And hockey, it doesn't matter what the sport is. In golf, I think if you just get, like, you know, 20 consecutive majors over 5 years, won by 19 guys.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's great,
yeah, I got
you. But you need greatness.
I got
you. You don't need real goodness. You need greatness. And week in, week out, golf fans watch the PGA Tour and are ecstatic to watch. But to grow the game, you have to have people who don't necessarily watch golf every week putting their eyeballs on it or picking up a club and playing or whatever. But
that's my big thing. Is I'm in a golf
participation's way down.
Right, and I'm in a golf mecca. I've got 94 golf courses in Maricopa County.
Right,
94 in just this one county we're sitting in right now, and I see. And this was one of those markets where that I'm not going too far down this path, but where we were wiped out by the housing crisis.
Right.
So there's guys that just stash their clubs over in the corner, right. and they don't want to get out more than once or twice a year. And finding a way to get those people to come back out,
tough.
Is really tough.
It's a long time to play.
Guys like Daly used to bring people out right. like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and there is not that type of figure
no.
that we see.
But the game's in good shape, Brad, because the young guys are good guys.
Very good guys.
They are. They're really good
Fowler's
guys.
Terrific.
They get it. They do this stuff. Yep. They understand. You know, they're all good with that. Way more open than the older guys. But the older guys weren't that way because they didn't have to be, and they weren't used to it. Now, everybody's life is an open book because everybody knows everything about everybody because all you have to do is just text somebody or call somebody or Facebook or Twitter or whatever the garbage, internet. I don't know. I don't think there's a major issue in golf other than, in my opinion, I'd like to see one of those young guys step up and do something fabulous. Rory was on his way, won those two majors. Didn't have a great 2013. But as we begin to transition, Tiger will be 38 at the end of this month. Phil will be 44 in June. They've been the two most dominant figures of the last two decades in golf by far. Ernie Els just a shade below them. Vijay yeah. maybe just a shade below that. But as we transition from those guys, who's the next guy? Not Tiger Jack guy, but someone who's going to win multiple majors and be there every week so that people are watching him. I'd like to see something like that happen.
Steve Sands, NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. He is the MC today here at the Waste Management Tee-Off Luncheon with Brad Sussmat. A couple other questions. I'll let you go. Appreciate all your time.
Oh, please.
Soji, you're going to the Olympics yeah. and you're doing curling.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
I don't know, man. I just got back from Fargo, North Dakota, where I did the U.S. curling trials.
Yeah.
And it was my first, you know, foray into the curling world.
Fargo and curling, just, yeah. you know.
It was pretty cool. It was cool. It was intense. I think most people look at it as a, you know, beer drinking, shuffleboard on ice kind of game. I mean, you know, you could joke around and do that. But those people, listen, the gold medals for the curlers mean every bit to – as much to them as Lindsey Vonn and Michael Phelps trying to win their gold medals. So it was cool. I don't know how it happened. I mean, 3 months ago, I've been at NBC, you know, for a while. I've done other sports my entire career. And I got a call, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months ago, asking me if I'd be interested in going, you know, to the Olympics. And I said, well, you know.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
And they said, listen, we'd like you to do this, this, and this. And at first it was going to be, you know, maybe speed skating. And then it was curling, and I'm also going to do some features for their primetime shows. And,
neat.
I don't know. Been very lucky. It's a heck of an opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no question about it.
Oh, no West Coast golf. I'm going to do Hawaii, and then be away from you. Asking about Tiger, I'm not going to have to think about golf for about 7 weeks.
Someone will ask you.
In Sochi?
Yeah, somebody
you know
in Sochi.
What's amazing? You know, it's funny you say that. At the U.S. curling trials, they're all golfers, and they all love golf. So here I am standing on the ice having no clue what's going on. You know, I'm there to learn.
Right,
and
right.
I have no idea what's going on. And they're all, you know, I want to ask them about this, that, and the other thing. All they want to talk about is Tiger and Phil and Rory and
yeah, yeah.
It was other big golf fans.
What do you have to know about that sport? I mean, in the next few months, as
you dive in, man,
prepare, what do you have to? What is the technical terms that you're learning about?
You know, my father used to tell me there is no such thing as being overprepared. You can bring 100 notes to a broadcast and only use 3 of them and feel like it's a waste of time. However, you still have 97 notes that you could use at some point. So,
sure.
You know, I went to learn about the sport, the verbiage. It's very similar to golf. If you're on a golf, I remember I grew up in the inner city in D.C. I'm not a golf guy. I'm a sportscaster who covers golf and has obviously immersed myself in the game in the last 14 years. But if you get the word, the verbiage wrong in golf, golf fans are all over you. So in curling, very small, niche sport, same thing. If you don't know what the hack is, or if you don't know what the hammer is, if you don't know what, you know, the button is, if you don't know what the house is, all these technical terms, and if you don't know the people's names, you know, you're talking about dealing with Switzerland and
what's the hardest name
Kazakhstan.
You've got right now?
Well, right now I've only had to immerse – they haven't – their teams haven't been set yet, so we haven't gotten that information yet, but – I know that Kim Brown is leading the U.S. team for the women.
God bless Kim Brown.
Right. Now, if the U.S. doesn't win or gets eliminated, and we're talking Switzerland versus Norway and Kazakhstan and Japan and Scotland, it'll get tricky. But, you know, you study a lot.
Yeah.
My mother was saying she didn't think I studied. You know, I went to college for 5 years. I went to high school for 4, so that's 9 years. She goes, I don't think I've ever seen you study so hard. In 9 years collectively than you have in the last couple of months to learn what's going on in curling. But it's fun. You learn, you immerse yourself in the game, and you hope you don't mess it up.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate you coming by.
Anytime, man. Good to see you.
Appreciate it. Stay
Anytime.
Well. Thanks for All coming over. Thanks. Steve Sands there with us, Golf Channel. NBC Sports, he's the MC here today. Appreciate him coming on board. Great stuff there. So thanks to Jerry Colangelo for swinging on by. Clark Judge, all things NFL. Phil Mickelson is out here. There's an outside chance that he swings by. Tend to doubt it, but we've got our camera crew out here as well, so we'll have some stuff up on the site, Sports360AZ. You can check it out over there. Going to be on White Mountain Radio, and of course, we're on Facebook and on Twitter as well, @BradSesmat, CESMAT. We're back with more after this time out at the Phoenician.